This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the meantime, we're going to be taking a look at the Auditor General's report that was released yesterday. It is an awful lot of numbers to go through. I think our colleagues here at the station on the Morning Run have also kind of taken you through some of those numbers. We're going to do just a quick overview, of some of the main revelations that have been making headlines.
So it turns out that regular citizens aren't the only ones with unpaid summons. The AG said that the Agriculture and Agri-based Industry Ministry accumulated unpaid traffic summonses of more than 200,000 ringgit over the past 10 years. The Finance Ministry owes close to 70,000 ringgit from 1999 to 2018. The reasons they remain unpaid are because the heads of departments didn't issue letters to remind the drivers or car users, and that these ministries also couldn't trace the original drivers who received the summons.
Of course it was bureaucracy. Of course it was.
Of course. And the report also found that 14 former officers from the Public Works Department were paid over 190,000 ringgit in salaries last year, even though they had already left the civil service. So the report recommended that the government collect those funds back.
I am so troubled by that. I mean, how did that happen? That's a lot of money.
It is, but you know, it's Malaysia.
That's not good enough. So when it comes to what happened under the Barisan National Government, MCMC, the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission, apparently spent nearly 13 million ringgit on special projects unrelated to their job scope. And this happened over a two-year period. So if you're wondering where that went, specifically, there was 4 million ringgit on a big data analytics system called My Insight System, purchased a week ahead of GE14. And as we mentioned, the main problem with this purchase is that it's just unrelated to the agency's portfolio.
And the report found that FINAS, also under the MCMC, inefficiently managed a financial incentive program meant for local filmmakers. Only a tenth of the budget under the program went to locals. But the report also said that the program did successfully attract foreign filmmakers to film in Malaysia and increase employment opportunities for local crew and production companies.
It just generally sounds like there's a lot of financial mismanagement in this auditor's report. And yeah, it's interesting to find out what else here is in there.
I am more interested, I think, in what's going to happen next. Because right now it feels a little bit like we're issuing slaps on the wrists, right? It's like, oh, you guys did this, you guys did that. But I do want to know, is there going to be follow through and follow up? Because that tends to be the thing, you know, when these things are announced, then everybody gets up in arms. But you know, if you're patient and you hunker down and you wait 6 months, people stop asking you questions. Although maybe, I mean, considering, what was it? 200,000 in summons?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that case, maybe not. But the rest of the time, I think it feels perhaps it's not reported in the media anymore and people don't follow up. It feels as if, hey, slap on the wrist, bad job. But then after that, what happens?
Well, for now, the PAC, or the Public Accounts Committee, is planning to call up some of the agencies and ministries mentioned in the report. Though usually there isn't much follow-up from there. And I guess it's just an overall theme, right? We've just become very desensitized to the fact that, oh, year after year, mismanagement, year after year in the AG's report, elements of fraud. Year after year, what else is there? If not mismanagement, if not fraudulent, then it's something else entirely. So I'm hoping to see that in the coming year, because the next AG report, if I'm not mistaken, will be published a full year once Pakatan has been in power. So that'll be an interesting change, right? And what we can see from a more perfect report, I guess.
I think I don't want to leap ahead and assume that it will be a positive change. I mean, I'm hoping it will be, don't get me wrong, but I think it's worthwhile to say that it will be an interesting contrast. You know, we can wait and see what's going to come. But I hesitate to assume that, you know, just because this is a government that has said that they're more transparent,
sure,
that, you know, a lot of information, I think, is going to be thrown up by that. But we are still looking at the one that came out last year. So we're going to be speaking after this with Ira Azhari, the Senior Executive in charge of Democracy and Governance Research at IDEAS. That will be coming your way after this. If you have any thoughts on the AG's report and its findings, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Business, finance and music. BFM 89.9.
7:15 in the evening. You're with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. We're talking about the AG's report, Auditor General's report, and just kind of the variety of weird financial holes that seem to be within our bureaucracy and our government. But to better understand it, we're crossing over now to Ira Azhari, the Senior Executive in charge of Democracy and Governance Research at IDEAS. Ira, thanks for joining us. So what is your overall evaluation after reading this report?
So based on my history reading of the this year's Auditor General's report, it seems like it's a further continuation of what we've seen in AG reports of previous years, which is highlighting mismanagement in various government agencies, and in certain cases, problem in public procurement process in government projects. Some of them are outright mismanagement of funds, and some are, involve problems in governance and transparency of spending in various government departments, ministries and agencies. So I don't think there's that much of a difference from previous year's reports, to be honest.
Right. And what are some things of particular interest, and what should we pay more attention to in the report?
What I found quite interesting was one of the highlights that the news has picked up so far is the AG's report under, I think it's the Ministry of Health, where the audit finds that Malaysian hospitals are understaffed, underfunded and overcrowded, which I found quite interesting because I think not too long ago there was another report that came out that said Malaysia has one of the best healthcare systems in the world. So I was quite interested to read this one because the AG report actually says that the emergency and trauma department in some Malaysian hospitals do not have enough equipment to provide proper levels of care. And the National Audit Department also flagged the issue with funding for these emergency and trauma departments, which they deemed to be insufficient. And there was response from the MOH themselves that said that between 2016 and 2018, MOH actually requested for 97 million ringgit to improve these services, but then they only received about 20 million ringgit, which is about 21% of their requested amount. So I think that's very much true that, we're not spending enough on healthcare. In fact, our total spending on healthcare is actually lower than the WHO recommendation. There is a certain ratio for GDP that we should be spending on healthcare that we haven't reached that threshold yet. And I think the PH manifesto actually pledged to increase spending on healthcare. So, so to me, the healthcare one was quite interesting.
Some of the words that appear a lot in the reports are mismanagement, fraudulent and underutilized. How are these terms defined and what examples can you give us?
Well, I think for mismanagement, there are several examples that can be highlighted. There was one about an incompetent contractor being reappointed to complete an abandoned sports school project. And I think you can see examples of this from previous AG reports as well, where appointing incompetent contractors and such for government projects, and then, the project, the building or the stadium or the bridge ends up collapsing and injuring people. And then in the case of fraud, one example that I like to point out to is in the the Malaysia Immigration System, which is a system to register foreign workers, I think. And, there was fraudulent approvals were found in the system, and the quota of foreign workers were being manipulated. And, this is clearly something very serious because, there's been a lot of talk in the news about how the mistreatment of foreign workers in Malaysia and, how difficult it is for foreign workers to get permits and licenses and such. So, I think this is something that's quite serious and that the government should be looking into. And another interesting thing was the finding on MCMC, the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission. And, 20, I'm just looking at the numbers at the moment, 100,000 ringgit of their funds were apparently used for a book on about a former Prime Minister, Najib Razak. So, there are all these various examples, I think, throughout the report where all of these things happen, which I think is very unfortunate.
So how much detail does the report go into in terms of the reasons behind these errors and discrepancies?
I think the AG's report goes into quite reasonable detail, I would say, on how, on why certain things occur and at what stage did the fraud or mismanagement happen. And as in, like, what can be done about it? I think, you know, it's not, that's not the role of the Auditor General's report. I think the AG's report is supposed to be, is supposed to present the situation and show us the numbers. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's up to the executive and up to the parliament on how to further improve the process of or transparency of government finances and government contracting and such.
So what would then be the follow-up action to the AG's report? We know the PAC is going to meet some of these agencies and ministries mentioned in it.
I think it's quite encouraging that the PAC, which, you know, which now is being led by a member of the opposition, that's Dr. Noraini, I think it's very encouraging that they are, that they have gone out to say that they are going to call up the government departments and agencies that have been found to have committed fraud and mismanagement and such. And I think that's the check and balance role that, as the rakyat, you know, we are looking to this Malaysia Baharu to put in place these check and balance mechanisms to ensure that future Auditor General reports less of mismanagement and fraud and such. So I think it's very encouraging that the PAC has come out to say this. And I would say, you know, we should keep this up. And it's important that these government agencies and ministries know that they cannot get away with this stuff, right? So they are entrusted with duties and taxpayers' money. So they must be held accountable for every single cent that they spend and be brought to justice if something seriously wrong has been committed.
Mm-hmm. For a very long time, it became normal to expect the AG report to include the words there were fraudulent elements involved. So what should we expect to be the new normal now that Pakatan is in power?
Yeah, I think the new normal should be you know, more accountability and just an increased level of transparency on all levels of government, you know, from the from agencies to state governments to local councils to up to the federal government. Just increase our transparency in all these various stages of government, because you know, in a mature democracy, we vote in our leaders with the expectation that they carry out their duties without fear or favor, and that our taxpayers' money are being spent accordingly to provide goods and services for the people. And you might think that it's not asking for much more transparency and accountability, but, you know, these expectations need to be institutionalized, right? There needs to be legislation and directives that ensure ministries comply to guidelines and to, you know, procurement requirements and such. And again, the check and balance mechanism also needs to exist and needs to work well in the system. So the PAC is one example that the of a check and balance mechanism that the government should utilize more, I think. So I think just greater transparency, accountability, and institutionalizing these practices so that in the future, the government cannot just do as they please.
And do ministries and government agencies have an obligation to respond to this report? You know, what happens if they don't get called up by the PAC?
As long as we don't have, you know, legislation or directives that compel ministries and government agencies to have better practices in contracting and such, then, you know, it's you know, besides the PAC, then I think it would be a bit difficult to compel these agencies to comply. So the PAC is a good start, but I think we need to start institutionalizing greater levels of transparency and accountability amongst government, yeah.
Ira, thank you so much for weighing in. That was Ira Azhari, the senior executive in charge of democracy and governance research at IDEAS. And we've been asking you for your thoughts, your feelings about the AG's report. And this is what we have. So firstly, Arifin says, the government should hire me as a consultant. Too many big words are used, you know, less details.
BFM, truly best for marketing, I guess.
Well, that, and you know, we have had instances, not necessarily in this case, we have had instances where the government just says things like, robbed. We were robbed. So yeah. there have been moments of memeable simplicity. It's not as if it's always this complex.
It does sound like they not only, I guess, from that perspective, not only better consultants, auditors, but also PR managers.
And then we have this message here from Kesh.
Every time the Auditor General's report comes up, the same report says that it is due to negligence, even when an agency pays ridiculous and exorbitant amounts for a simple item. There must be something funny going on. MACC can investigate this. The report prepared previously was under the old government. Now there is a new government who can take action on the actions of the previous one. Let's hope that they will also take action when it's during their own time.
Yeah, hear, hear, Kesh. I mean, that's what I was alluding to, right? I don't think that it's going to be like some sort of magical solution. I mean, we've seen the struggles within the civil service, for instance, just in terms of trying to update, in terms of trying to upgrade. There have been so many different things that I don't think that next year's report is going to approach perfect. I think it will be better, but I don't think it will be, you know, it will be as great as we want it to be, I guess.
And that point you made earlier about the fact that, well, the report just seems like a slap on the wrist. It can't be a slap on the wrist anymore, seeing that for so long, if they didn't have to answer for it, they won't. And they've just swam along fine all these years saying that, oh, well, maybe next year will be better.
I think this is Pakatan's chance to prove that they really are about integrity if they take action on the findings in the AG's report.
This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.